This will be in the book of Proverbs today, and we've done several lessons in the book of Proverbs, and this is the last in this particular series that I'm intending to do right now. I do want to mention to you what I have planned for the future and get your feedback on that. Just this past week, I was driving to Atlanta and stopped at a gas station, and there were some CDs on the countertop next to the cash register, and they were sermons and from a denominational church. And I thought, who listens to CDs anymore? But evidently there are still people that do, and cars have CD players in them. And at this particular place, there are lots of trucks that come to that area. And I thought, well, it sparked an idea. I started looking at our website. Our website has 14 years of sermons, 39 speakers, and 938 sermons on our website. So that's quite a library there. And what I would like to do here in the near future is to do a series of lessons that is designed for teaching someone how to be a Christian, some basic lessons that would be appropriate to either share on social media or to maybe burn to a CD and to distribute. Because sometimes we have opportunities to share things, and to have a series that is designed to share with others is what I intend to do here in the future. I'd like to get your feedback on that, and certainly make it convenient for people to share that with others. Also, I'm planning on doing a series in the book of Hebrews here in the future as well. It's been a long time since I've gone through that particular book. And so, as we have been doing here in the recent past, doing several different series at one time and rotating through those Sunday to Sunday. And if you have any suggestions on things that you would like to hear, I'm always welcome and glad to hear suggestions, because that helps me out a great deal. The book of Proverbs has been a very good study for us, and there's a lot of practical value in looking at the wisdom literature. You could say that when you look at the book of Proverbs, it's Solomon teaching his son how to have a good life, how to have a good life and be faithful to God, and it's very practical wisdom. And so there's lots of value that we have seen and how it tells us to be wise and not to be lazy and to control our tongue and to, but one of the things that Solomon spends a significant amount of time teaching is about the heart. What is it that our heart should be? And that's what we want to talk about this morning. And when we talk about the heart, we're talking about our inner self, our conscience, our motives, our desires, our thought processes, and those kind of things. And it's very important for us to have a pure heart. As was mentioned this morning in our Bible class, when we were talking about prayer and the purpose of prayer, and the purpose of prayer is not to tell God something that He doesn't already know. God knows, and there's nothing about ourselves that we are going to fool God about. If I want to be something, or I want to pretend to be something, it may fool somebody else, but it's not going to fool God. That is why it is so important for us to have a pure heart, because God knows our actions. And Solomon tells his son that there is not one activity that is hidden from the sight of God. Proverbs 15, verse 3, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." I used to think that my mom had eyes in the back of her head, and so sometimes you feel like with your mom you can't get away with anything because she can always see what you're doing. Well, just think of your mom on steroids. So, God absolutely knows everything that you do. There is no place that you can go and hide. There is no darkness dark enough that God is not going to see you. So, no supposition that God does not know. You're not going to drive away. You're not going to fly away. You're not going to run away from God. We saw that with Jonah. Jonah couldn't run away from God. And when we look at the book of Jonah, what we see is that he starts off running away from God. And then when he's in the belly of the whale, he's running back to God in prayer. And then at the end of the book, we see when he is so hoping that God's going to destroy Nineveh, he's kind of running ahead of God. And so that has always been a very interesting book to me, that we have this person that's constantly on the run, but you know, they're not getting away from God. It always reminded me of going on trips with my parents, and you're in the back seat and you're misbehaving, your dad tries to backhand you, and you get away, and you think you got, no, he's going to pull the car over. You know, there is no getting away. And so don't run. And God sees every sin committed, even if nobody else does. God also sees every act of righteousness. He sees every good thing that you do. And we talked about that in Bible class this morning, about doing things to be seen by men. And when you do that, you have received your reward. Well, regardless of whether men give you credit for it or not, God sees what you do. And Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21 says that a man's ways are in full view of the Lord. He examines all his paths. And as we've mentioned many times in the past, when you realize that God sees everything, that can either scare you to death or it can give you comfort. And so hopefully it gives you comfort that God is seeing what you do. And if not, then there's changes that need to be made. So that's why it's so important to have a pure heart, that our ways are in full view. Nothing is obscured from God's sight. And knowledge of this should encourage us to do good always, even when no one is looking, and certainly to avoid sins. So God knows our actions, and He also knows our hearts. In chapter 15, verse 11, it says, Sheol and Abaddon lie open in front of the Lord, how much more the human heart. And so this is just describing, if God can even see into the depths of the earth, then God can surely see into your heart. He knows your actions, but He knows what is in your heart. So how would you feel if you knew that there was somebody that could read your mind? I know we feel that way on social media sometimes. You just think about buying something and then there's an ad for it. It seems that way, doesn't it? But what if somebody could really read your mind? One of my favorite television shows, and I know Rex will know this, the Gilligan's Island. And there was an episode of Gilligan's Island where Gilligan temporarily has the ability to read people's minds. And it turns out not to be a really great thing. And you would think that would be a wonderful thing. But, you know, I don't know that I want to know what everybody is thinking about me. That'd probably be quite distressing. But when you think about God knowing your heart, that seems more significant than knowing your actions. Because people can see our actions, and God sees all of our actions. God sees our heart. He knows what's in our mind. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we thought about doing if we never even did it. And so God knows. And so what do we think about that? How does that affect us? Is God impressed that I'm here and I'm sitting in my pew and I've got my Bible open and I've got my jacket and tie on, but my heart is full of wickedness? Of course not. God's not impressed with me just because I'm sitting on the pew, because I'm not deceiving God. And you know, we need to realize that what is in our heart is very important. Just this past weekend, I attended a Bible study with about 20 other men from around this area. And one of the guys that was speaking, he talked about this, the subject of identifying with something, which is, you know, certainly in the media a lot today. If you're a man and you identify as a woman, does that make you a woman? Of course not. And you know, transversely, a woman identifying as a man. Well, yeah, I may want to identify as being 30 years old and 170 pounds. Well, that doesn't make that true. Or if I want to get a job with Michael, and I go in and I say, I identify as an engineer. Just this past week, I was in Auburn, and I was in the School of Engineering. I think it's the Shelby Building that it's called over there. And so they were having a printer installed that I was helping with, and there were a bunch of engineering students that came in, and they had all these engineering shirts, School of Engineering. But only the people that are in the engineering school can buy those. But I thought, well, if I went over there and got one, that's kind of a cool-looking shirt. But it would misidentify me, wouldn't it, if I wore it? People might start asking me engineering questions. If I identify as something, doesn't make it true. And the point that this guy in the Bible class was making is, we were looking at the Good Samaritan. Well, you may identify as being kind and gentle and helpful, but if you sit around and don't do anything, it doesn't matter. If you would declare that this is what I am, I'm a helpful person, I'm a loving person, I'm somebody that's charitable and giving, and that's what I want to identify as. You can see the point that you can identify as being a Christian, you can identify as being all kinds of things. But if that's not what you are doing, you can identify all day and it's not true. And what we need to understand is that God knows your identity. He knows who you are. He doesn't matter what you declare to be. God knows what is in your heart. And we will be judged by what's in our heart. The book tells us that we will be examined. God examines our hearts. Chapter 17, verse 3. God examines our hearts. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold. But the Lord tests the heart. And so this word that is translated test means to investigate or to examine. And we know that a fire purifies silver and gold. And certainly the trials of life, and if you want to call it the fires of life, will purify your hearts. And so trials and difficulties cause some people to get closer to God and push others away. And so the heart becomes revealed in times of difficulty. Isn't it funny when you see what truly a person is when they're under pressure and how they react to things going on around them? And it's either going to make them crack or they're going to come through it well, spiritually. Jesus taught this to Peter, when Peter went to walk on the water and he looked away from Christ, and Peter's faith looked strong enough when he said, let me go, let me come and walk to you. And he asked to do that, but when the wind picked up and he looked away, then Peter began to drown. And Jesus told Peter in chapter 14 of Matthew, you don't have any faith. You've got little faith. And so he needed to have that. He needed to have a faith that would hold up under examination. And a pure heart is important, because without that, we are going to fail when adversity comes. And really, the kind of theme of the lesson here with the scales is that God weighs our heart. God weighs our hearts. Chapter 21, verse 2 of Proverbs says, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Also in chapter 16, verse 2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his motives. The first thing that happens when I go to the doctor's office is, number one, you wait, but then when you are paraded into the back, the first thing that my doctor's office does is make me step on that scale. It doesn't matter what's wrong with me. It could be strep throat, sore throat. What does my weight have to do with a sore throat? I don't need to know. I don't want to know what that says. And there are many times that I did not want to know. When I go get my hair cut, I tell whoever's cutting it, I will pay you extra if you do not show me the mirror in the back, because I cannot see how my hair is thinning unless you show it to me. And I'll give you a bigger tip if you do not show me what it looks like in the back. It doesn't really change anything, does it? But when we talk about God weighing our heart, you know, that's something that is very significant. And so the Proverbs picture our hearts being put on the scales and being weighed for purity. And that's probably not a concept that we're really familiar with, but in the days when these Proverbs were being written, how could you tell if gold was pure or not? Well, they knew how much gold weighed, and they put it on a scale, and it either measured up or it didn't. So if it didn't weigh enough, then they knew it wasn't pure. And silver, the same way. The value of metal, like gold and silver, was determined by placing it on a scale. So when you know what the weight is supposed to be, and it didn't measure up, then it's not pure. And I think that's the idea here behind these Proverbs, that God, He places our heart on the scale, and it's going to be weighed. And what's the result? Is it pure or is it impure? And, you know, that's a picture of judgment, isn't it? That you're going to be weighed to see if you are pure or not. And when we think about judgment and being before the throne of God in our hearts and our motives and our thoughts and our intents, well, that just gives you pause to think about that. Somebody's going to judge my heart. Somebody's going to judge what I think. They're going to judge my motives. They're going to investigate me for purity. And so what's the answer? What will be God's answer concerning the purity of our heart? Well, it helps us to understand how to define this when we understand that we're not always looking at things by the right standard. We should consider God's standard versus man's. So when we think about hearts and how much they weigh, don't use human standards to answer the question. In chapter 30 and verse 12, it tells us that it is God who sets the standard, not us. There are those who are pure in their own eyes, yet are not cleansed of their filthiness. So it doesn't matter if you think you're doing a good job being righteous and moral. All that matters is if you are truly righteous and moral according to God's standards. As many of you probably have gone through in your place of work, every year we have to take some online classes about internet security, harassment, and things that we have to complete these courses every year, and they've structured it where you can't fast forward it or not watch the content. Because they'll ask you, you know, questions that you can't answer unless you watch the content. Like, what color was Susie's dress when she was being harassed? You know, that you can't answer the question without watching the content. And so we have to go through that. And what some people do is they turn off the volume, they walk away, they don't watch it. And then when it gets to the test at the end, they take the test. And the test will let you keep taking it until you get it right. So what did they learn? Well, Yukonika Minolta learned that they scored 100 on the test. But did they get any of the value of the content? Well, you know, it's pretty standard stuff, and so it's stuff that most people would know anyway. But the point is that they try very hard to get people to watch the content, but people still find ways not to do it. But the standard that Konica has is, did you score 100? When we look at standards, sometimes standards don't tell us what we want. I could go all day talking about, you know, certifications and things that people get in the business world that so they can get the sticker on the door, or they've used some kind of standard of purity because at the time they took the test one time, they passed it. And it doesn't mean that they're doing that all the time. It just means at one point in time they passed the certification. So when it comes to our spiritual life, We need to use the right standard and not human standards. And so the human standards sometimes that we see, oh, well, how are people dressed? How much do they attend services? How is their language? What do I see them doing? What kind of activities are they doing? And so these things are all important, and I don't mean to minimize that at all, but there are so many more things that God can see that men cannot. We may think that I'm doing good because I'm not being mean. I have not killed anybody. I am not being hateful to my neighbor. I am attending church services 80% of the time. So, but what does God demand? God demands that we love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's a lot more powerful standard than what the world will have. And sometimes we also, not only do we use poor standards, we deceive ourselves about our progress. So even if we're using God's standards, we overestimate, you know, how good we may be doing, and we certainly need to continue trying to improve. But sometimes when suffering comes, people leave God out of the picture, or they give up on God. And this is greatly illustrated what you see happening on the night of Jesus' death. Because, you know, what did the disciples all publicly say? And we think about Peter and what he said, but they all said that they wouldn't forsake Him. That the night before Jesus' death, that we will not deny or forsake you. And that night, each one of them forsook Jesus and fled. And as we said before, we can often declare that something is true just as they did. But in the time of trial, it reveals our weakness. Just a little side point, one of the things we talked about in our class this weekend is how important our brethren are in helping us be strong. And I made the point that I often wonder if Peter had not been by himself. You know, he was around others, he was around the enemies, but if he had, you know, John or one of the others with him, would Peter have done what he did? Because there's strength in numbers. And Ecclesiastes certainly talks a lot about that, the strength of the cord when it's, you know, two or three cords. And so let's not minimize the help that others can be to us. But back to the point, you know, we can declare that our faith is strong, but trials sometimes like it did with the disciples revealed that they had some weakness. And thankfully, you know, they repented of that, overcame that, and you know, brought the gospel to so many. But we need to know where our faith is and not deceive ourselves that we're doing, oh, I've arrived, I'm where I need to be. And certainly the disciples, you know, thought they were a little bit better off than what they ended up being in their dedication to Christ. Oh, we'll never forsake you. No, well, you did. So, we use poor standards, we deceive ourselves about our progress, and we can lead ourselves astray. We can stray away from God's path. Chapter 28, verse 26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. So when we rely on our own feelings, our own understanding, we go in the wrong direction. Just another little work story. We had a problem with a machine in an area, and it just seemed like it was a lemon. It was not performing the way that it should. It was, you know, overheating, and so customer's upset, wants to return it, and the customer's electrician goes back to the book and realizes that it was wired wrong. The electrician had wired it wrong. And so when it was wired correctly, everything worked right. And what's not funny is that it was Konica Minolta's own service tech that said, we don't need to go by this book. I've got experience with these others in other areas, and we don't need to do what the book says. We need to do what my phone says. And he had pictures of what had been. So it was a bad mistake. Here's somebody that's, wise in going down his own path for whatever reason. And certainly lessons were learned, right? If you would have gone by the printed book, none of this would have ever happened. Customer never would have been upset. And when we think about our spiritual lives, the lesson is obvious, isn't it? We're talking about the book. We're talking about the word that God has given us. And when we think that we're better off by going our own way, or that we trust in our own heart, it's not going to work out. It's going to be broken. We need to follow the standard of God. So how do we have proper hearts? First of all, we need to keep examining our own hearts. Verse 19 of chapter 27, as water reflects the face, so the heart reflects the person. This is just another reminder that God is going to examine the heart. And, you know, when you look into the water and you see your face kind of like a mirror, the heart is the reflection of the person. When I was working for EBSCO, there was a time that we were being audited by Adobe, who makes, you know, graphic arts software. So do you think that we waited till somebody from Adobe arrived to see how we're doing to get ready for that? No, we immediately started looking, have we been legal on all of our software licenses? Have we installed something that they shouldn't? If conversely, you know, or similarly, if you received a letter in the mail that your tax return's being audited by the IRS, you're going to go back and you're going to look at what you did. Did I do everything correctly? Did I make any mistakes? Of course you would do that. And when it comes to our spiritual life, do we take the same care to examine ourselves by the Word of God? Well, God's saying your heart's going to be evaluated. And so you need to do that. You also need to guard your hearts. And this is a very common lesson that's brought out many times when you're looking at the book of Proverbs. That we need to guard our heart. Guard your heart above all else, for it is a source of life. So guard your hearts. How do you do that? Well, you can limit how much bad things you feed upon in the world and in the media. You can't always shield your eyes from everything that you might see, but at the risk of using a trite illustration, that you can't keep a bird from landing in your hair, but you can keep it from building a nest there. That you don't have to continue to think on things and have a heavy appetite for things that are going to cause you great temptation. Don't allow filth to enter your heart. You have to guard your eyes, protect your heart, guard your thoughts from inappropriate desires and lust. Don't place yourself in situations where you are likely to sin. It's just common sense, except it's uncommon that people don't do those things. We also need to teach our hearts. Verse 19 of chapter 23, listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Well, this is basically saying, tell your heart which way to go. It says, direct your heart or teach your heart. You notice what it doesn't say? It doesn't say listen to your heart. And that's what a lot of people would tell you to do today. Do whatever it is that your heart desires. Whatever your heart is telling you to do, whatever it is that you want, don't deny yourself. Just do what you want to do. Because it's a terrible, terrible thing for you to deny yourself of what you want. And don't tell people that, and don't let people tell you that you need to deny yourself. You hear that all the time in the world today. What Solomon says, your heart needs to be trained. Your heart needs to be taught. We're not to be led by our heart. We're to train our heart to desire righteousness. And that means that we need to have a greater dedication to meditating on God's Word. I just want to, you know, compliment Jarrell here for a second, because I had a real, I got back from vacation last week and had a really busy week, and I was away from home a great deal of the week. And I, was here Wednesday night, and then Wednesday night I got back on the road, just playing catch up. And this this Bible study down in South Alabama that has been going on for several years, I've always wanted to do it, and have only been able to do it once, and there was always something with camp registration that kept me from doing it. But then I'm not camp director anymore, so it's a perfect year for me to go. And I told Jarrell on Thursday, I don't think I'm going to go. I've been away from the house too much this week. I just want to come home. And she said, don't let me be the reason that you don't go and do this. And truly, that was it. That was the reason I was coming home, because I felt like I'd been away from the house too much this week. And it was so good for me to be there and hear these lessons that other men were doing, because we were talking about being husbands and fathers and brothers and neighbors. And it's just a spiritual feast and refreshing for me that I wouldn't have done if she hadn't told me to do that. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to do this year, is take more opportunities to be with other brethren and to be encouraged by brethren and to spend more time in the Word of God. Because I'm real good at preparing lessons that I have to teach, preparing for Bible class or preparing a sermon, but I need to do some other studies too and take advantage of other opportunities. And so I was really glad that Jarrell told me, no, this is important, you go and do this. And if it was a lady study, you would let me go do it. This is a men's study. They don't happen very often. You go do that. So I bring that up because what that did is it's teaching my heart. I'm old, but I can still learn some things. There's a lot that I still can learn about the Word of God and be encouraged. So let's spend more time and be dedicated to studying the Scriptures and being around other Christians that can encourage us. And why do we have so few wanting to study the Bible? There's probably more opportunity these days to hear the Word of God than ever. You can go on YouTube, you can go on the internet, you can find so many great resources. But you're watching cat videos. You go listen to some sermons. Go listen to some classes. We need to know the Bible inside and out, because we're going to be judged by it. So God knows our actions. He knows our hearts. We can't be deceived into thinking our actions are on what people see on the outside are just enough. No, we have to have pure hearts. And God examines both, doesn't He? God examines the actions and He examines the heart. And we're going to be judged by God's standards, not man's. And the Word of God is the standard. And we need to evaluate ourselves by that. So let's be active in training our hearts and examining our hearts and guarding our hearts. And I think this is a really great conclusion to our study right now on the book of Proverbs, because the whole book of Proverbs is about that. It's all about what the heart should be and training yourself for service in the kingdom of God. If we can help you in any way today, if you're subject to the invitation of Christ, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
He is my everything. He is my all. Small. He is.
We did see David and Andy coming in, so we mentioned it earlier. We're very glad to see they went for many hours. Do the men have anything else that should be announced before we dismiss this morning? Appreciate these lessons in Proverbs and the encouragement that he has for us to consider the wisdom that God has left behind through Solomon and the others that both of those. It is God the wisdom for us to make sure that we apply in our lives. And to answer every one of the last questions. So I appreciate us taking some time to do that. There's a lot more that could be talked about. We will continue to think about that, read through it, and read about that. You can read just a small portion, you can get a lot of talk. All right, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer this morning, and then look forward to meeting again Wednesday evening to continue our Bible study and meet again for the Lord. I hope everyone has a good week, and if you need anything along the way, please don't hesitate to contact elders, especially. But you can hear a breath. I hope you encourage them along the way. Bye.
Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you give us opportunity to come together. To join in spirit and join in song and join in prayer. We're thankful that we have a place such as this to come together, and we pray that everything we did today is in honor of you. Thank you for all the blessings you have showered upon us in this life. Help us to always be mindful of the most important blessing, and that is your Son and his death upon a cross. Help us to always stay focused upon his sacrifice, the necessity for each of us that it was in our life. Please be with us as we go out into this world to share with others the glory of your Son. And that if we are good and faithful and obedient children, we can have everlasting heaven. Please forgive us of our sins as we go now. Shelter and protect us along the journey. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.